Okay. Okay. So I get a call from one of my directors who needs me to go on a two-on-one presentation with him. Now, this was kind of surprising to me because he was a director. He had a pretty good organization going. He went on two-on-ones with his people. Very experienced in the business, knew it well. Why was he calling me to go with him on a two-on-one presentation? And it come to find out it's because we are going to meet with the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company. And this guy, as CEO, even back then, I think he made $5 or $10 million a year. Because he had, it's a publicly traded company. If I told you the name, everyone in the room would know the name of this company. Publicly traded. He got his CEO thing. He got his perks and his things. And he had all these stock options, which every year he exercised a certain amount. So he made $5-10 million. On a great year, he could make $20 million. Well, he went to church with my director. And my director approached him on one Sunday and said, "Tony, I'd like to talk to you about a business opportunity. Would you be willing to meet with me?" And the guy, his name was Tony, said yes. Now, he scheduled it at his office, which, of course, as you'll discover later in the training, is a mistake. We never want to schedule people's presentations at their office because they're at work. They're not supposed to be looking at other things. They don't have, the phones are ringing. They have distractions. You're not going to get their attention. But I think my guy, and my guy knew this, but I think he was so awed by this guy and the fact that he said yes, that I think he asked him so that he could cross his name off the list. You know what I'm talking about? We have people like that. We got him on the list so we could say, "Oh yeah, I talked to him already. He's not interested." So I think this is why he asked him. And the guy said, "Yes, why don't you come by the office on Tuesday morning? I can work in 10:30 or, you know, whatever time it was." So I go to his office. He greets me. Now, when he tells me the name of the guy, I say, "Tony so-and-so, the guy I'm reading about in the newspaper all the time? Yeah, that's the guy. At the such-and-such company? Yes. At his office? Yes, at his office." So we go in, and his secretary's office is the size of my apartment. We go into his office. He has a desk the size of a battleship. Okay, maybe I'm using a little poetic license here. But I mean, it's huge. And then, in addition to this desk and this gorgeous leather furniture and this whatever, is a conference table in his office. Now, this is not the conference room conference table. This is the small conference table for in his office conference table, which I guarantee you holds 25 people. Beautiful mahogany, beautiful leather chairs. I guarantee you the conference table in that room cost at least $100,000. And that's the conference table that we sat down, Tony at the end, me on one side, Jesus, my director, on the other side, and I'm drawing circles for this guy in his conference room. Now, interesting situation. He didn't join the business. And he actually, when I finished, he was very polite, very deferential the whole presentation. And when I finished, he said, "Well, do you know, I actually am contractually prohibited from doing any other business. Because of my contract with the company, I cannot have any other business options like that because I have an exclusive contract with them. But I certainly was willing to review this and see what kind of thing you're in, Jesus, because you're in the church. And I want to let you know, this looks like a wonderful opportunity for you. And I'm very excited that you're in it. And I want to wish you the most success with it." Now, I learned a couple of very important lessons doing that presentation in that conference room. The first thing I learned was, when you do your list and you look at who you want to bring into the business, you want to go after the most busy, the most ambitious, the most successful people first. Which is the opposite of what most people do. Most people go after, remember I told you the first person I sponsored was my roommate. Next company, first person, my roommate. Next company. Why? Because I had what you all have, which everybody has, which we all have, our lay-down distributor. Right? They just lay down whatever we tell them to do. We all know someone like this, right? Oh, by the way, I need your credit card number because I forged your name on the application. Right? We all know someone like that. So who do we go after first? We go after our lay-down distributor, the people we can forge the application to, the people we can beat up if they don't join, people we can berate if they give us any guff. And we're afraid to approach. See, you were beat up, weren't you? So, you know, those are the people we go after. And we're afraid to go after the successful people because we say, well, they make a lot of money already. Or they have a nice title already, or they have prestige. They have much more education than I do. They're a PhD. Here I am, a high school dropout. I would be afraid. I'd be embarrassed to approach them about a business opportunity. Oh, she's a powerful CEO of a company. Here I am, a waiter. How could I make a presentation to her? One of the things you'll discover is that the more busy, the more successful people are, the more open they are to look at your opportunity. You find me the busiest person you know. Find me someone who works 3 jobs. They have a full-time job to support their kids. They deliver pizzas at night to make extra money. They sell stuff at the flea market on the weekend to make extra money. They're a volunteer for the March of Dimes. They're a deacon in their church, and they're the vice president of the Rose Gardening Society. You call that person, and I promise you, they will find 45 minutes to see a presentation with you. Then look at your list and find somebody who's unemployed and try to get an appointment with them and see how long it takes you. Because they are so busy watching Jerry Springer. They are so busy reporting to their parole officer. They are so busy changing the bag and the vacuum cleaner that they never will have time to meet you to look at an opportunity. So one of the things I discovered in that office was the most busy, most ambitious, most successful people you want to go to first. The other thing I discovered in that office is when you approach those very busy, very successful people, they treat you and the opportunity with respect. Those people never give you grief and, oh, is that a pyramid deal? And if I, whoa, that's a unicorn, I would never. You never hear that from busy, successful, ambitious people. You never hear that from those kind of people. Why? Because they're out there in the real world. They've made money. They know what business is. They understand the concept of leverage. When they look at those exponential circles, they are able to do the arithmetic. They look at that and they equate it. Well, wait a minute. What's the amount of time I spend working my bed and breakfast? How many days a week am I working that? How much time do I put in that? What have I carved out 7 to 10 hours a week and put into that? So one of the secrets to getting out of the gate fast. And that's really important. You want to get out of the gate fast. Now, why do you want to get out of the gate fast? Because this business is easier to build fast than it is to build slow. Believe it or not, it sounds ironic, it sounds like a paradox, but it's absolutely the truth. It's easier to build the business fast than it is to build the business slow. Why? Because when we build the business fast, we get momentum going. We get enthusiasm going. People who see exponential growth going on in the organization put extra time and extra effort into the business, and the whole organization grows faster as a result. When a rocket takes off, you know, a rocket might use 75-85% of its fuel just to get off the launch pad and get out of the atmosphere. And then once it's out of the atmosphere, with 20% of the fuel, it can go from here to Mars and back, or here to the moon and back, or whatever the case may be. But the biggest thing is to break through gravity, get outside of the atmosphere. And it's very much the case in network marketing. You want to break through the initial inertia. You want to break through the initial fears and resistance, the little things that people have made up in their mind about why the business don't work, or why the business might be scary, or why they should procrastinate doing this or doing that. So if we can get some fast action going, we see the whole organization replicate a lot faster. So one of the things, if you really want to get out of the gate fast, I'm going to suggest is you train your people who are working with the warm market prospecting to do to go through the whole get started training. They do their list of people. You want to have a list of at least 100 people. Now, you think that I don't know that your people are going to say they don't know 100 people? Of course they're going to say that. It's in their DNA. They can't help themselves. It's just one of those knee-jerk reactions. And that's why you've got to get out that First Steps booklet that comes in that fast-track heart attack thing. Who do you know named Joe? Who do you know named Mo? Who do you know named Curly? Who does your dry cleaning? Who did you buy your car from? Who is your carpet cleaning? Who do you rent your apartment from? Who's your attorney? Who's your CPA? Who's your hairstylist? Who's your lawn guy? Who's your pool guy? Who's your chiropractor? Who's your acupuncturist? And we start with the A and the acupuncture and the whatever, and we go all the way to zoologist. Okay, and we take them through the process, and they know more than 100 people. Remember a long, long time ago, they had that Unabomber guy lived in Montana in the woods somewhere, and he was mailing out these mail bombs everywhere. The guy lived in the woods with no electricity, no running water, no nothing. They finally arrest him, and then they're going around the town. They're interviewing him, and everybody knows the guy. It's like, yeah, he used to tie up his bike here, and he'd buy supplies there. Yeah, he came in every Wednesday, and he'd have a coffee at the shop. So if the Unabomber knows 100 people... Don't you think your people probably do? Now, I've also got some other research to support this. When they've done a study of wedding receptions, do you know the average wedding has 500 people? They have 250 people on the groom's side. They have 250 people on the bridal side, which makes sense because when they also did some checking on the funerals, they found that the average funeral median 250 people signed the guest book. So the way I look at it, if you can turn out 250 people when you're dead, you can probably turn out 100 when you're still kicking. So we really work with them and we get them to do the list of 100 people. Now, we're going to talk in the next segment, we're going to talk about cold market prospecting. And whether we take some classified ads or we do some direct mail or we do something on the internet, and I'm not saying that's bad or don't do that, I think that's fine. But what I'm saying is you have to also do the warm market stuff. And you have to do the warm market stuff first. Now, when someone joins the business and they tell you, well, I don't want to talk to the people I know yet. I want to take ads, and when I'm rich, then I'm going to go back to the people that I know. You got to slap them, okay, because they don't get it. You need to grab them by the collar, shake them a little bit, and you need to do the presentation all over again because they didn't get it. Because if they got it, the first person they would talk to would be their best friend, their minister, their parents, their brother, their sister-in-law, the people they work with, the people they play softball with, the guys they go golfing with, the ladies they have movie night with, their friends, the people that are important to them. So if they're not talking about that, then there's something wrong. They haven't got the presentation yet, so you need to do the presentation again. I told you I was strict. If I sponsored someone and they told me that, no, I'm not going to talk to the people I know. I'm just going to take ads. I'd say, you know what? Let me give you your money back. I want you to give me back the distributor kit because I don't think this business is right for you. Was I strict? Yeah. Was it tough love? Yeah. But you will get to a point where you're old enough and you're rich enough that you will start to set boundaries. Now, where those boundaries will be, that's going to be determined how old you get and how rich you get. But I got really rich. And what seemed like really old at the time. And I set these boundaries that I just learned that when people were afraid to talk to the people that they knew, they weren't going to do anything in the business. Even though they had a big war chest and they were going to run full-page ads and they were going to mail 10,000 tapes out, they were going to mail 5,000 letters out, I just felt if they weren't going to talk to their brother, if they weren't going to talk to their minister, how were they ever going to be compelling to talk to these people that they were going to do for cold market? And it wasn't just an opinion of mine. This is what the evidence supported. Because people who had sponsored in the business, who just did the cold market stuff by itself, they did not build successful businesses. Because they didn't really believe in the business. Their hope was, well, hopefully I can get up to rich before anybody finds out about this, and then I can tell the people I know. I mean, I don't know what. I'm not sure what was going on in their mind. But it didn't work. So I'm going to make them go through that process, and I'm going to suggest you do the same thing. What you do is going to be up to you. But I really believe that the warm market needs to be the foundation for your business. Now, they do their list. They get at least 100 names, and here is the important part to really grow fast. We're going to have them go after the chicken list people first. What's the chicken list people? This is the people that they're afraid to talk to. These are the people that have more experience or more make more money than they do or have a higher education level than they do or a bigger corner office than they do, but they're afraid to talk to them. Why are they afraid to talk to them? Well, that's all in their mind. That's just a self-imposed belief that they're creating. But that's why if I sponsor you into the business and I know you're nervous and you're not confident yet, you're just getting started, so I'm going to suggest we go through your list. We're going to identify, and I'm going to ask her this question. I want to know who's the most ambitious, most successful, busiest people on this list. Mark those 10. Let's put a star by their names. So that's going to be her chicken list, pretty much. There might be one or two. It might be her father-in-law or someone else who maybe isn't that big successful, but she's just very nervous to talk to him or to her for whatever reason. Those are the people, her chicken list. I'm going to let her use me to get to those people. The reason she's afraid to approach them is she perceives that she doesn't have credibility with them. Because she doesn't make as much money, or she doesn't have as nice a title or as much education or whatever. So her job is to edify me or to build me up to her prospect and sell me that, hey, I want you to meet this guy, Randy. He's a very successful guy in the business. I want him to explain this to you. So whatever she does, whether it's a pre-approach pack or a qualifying question or however she's approaching her people, what she's trying to do at this point is not to sponsor them. It's to just get them to agree to meet me for a two-on-one or agree to get on a conference call with me and leverage my credibility. So later, as we get in the advanced stuff, I'm going to talk about the 6 to 8 week process to making a distributor independent, how we're going to take them through this 6 to 8 weeks to get them where they could do the business without you. Well, I think one of the foremost components of that is their ability to be able to approach prospects. And so if you can use me for your chicken list people. So let's say we're doing calls. I'm going to tell her, put a tape recorder on these calls. And we can, you know, tell the person, you're new in the business, you're trained, so you're going to be taping the call. I want you to tape everything I say on this call so that after it, you can listen to the tape over and you can learn how to do it. You can even practice it. I want you to do some conference calls with your dog. Okay, I want you to sponsor your dog, do this presentation with your dog 27 different times until you feel comfortable with it, okay? Or let's suppose we're doing the one-on-one. And I say, okay, I'm going to get my planner. She's going to get her planner. We're going to schedule her 7 to 10 hours a week that she's got for the business the first week. I'm going to match up my hours with her because it's a new distributor. I'm going to really put time with her. So I'm going to match her 7 to 10 hours. We're going to schedule two-on-one presentations with her chicken list people. I'm going to go with her, and same thing, I'm going to tell her, you bring a notepad, everything I write on my notepad, you need to be writing on your notepad. You take exact notes of everything I do, because your job is to learn this presentation as quickly as you can. And so I will teach her how to approach this by getting to her chicken list people. Now let me tell you what the end result of this will be. We will end up sponsoring a number of her chicken list people. Could be 2 or 3, could be 4 or 5. But we will get some of her people that she's the most nervous about, most busy, most successful, most ambitious people on her list will actually be in her group already. She doesn't have to be nervous about it anymore. So now the other people on her list of 100, she's approached the 10 nervous ones. They're already done. We've got 3 or 4 of them in the group. She will have no nervousness at all or almost minimal to approach those other 90. because she got through the hard part, and she's already got a VP of some Fortune 500 company is in her group now, and a doctor is in her group now, and one of the best-known attorneys in the town is in her group on her front line. So what is she? She's not nervous about calling up the nurses and the chiropractors and the bus boys and the cab drivers and the whatever, because the people she was really afraid of are already in her group. We've taken away the fear, and we've built confidence. What we're looking for here is building confidence as early in the game as we can, because the earlier we can build that, the faster the group's going to grow. Now, so I'm going to suggest a good strategy would be to work 2 to 3 lines at a time, because the average person who's working 7 to 10 hours a week, 2 to 3 lines is going to be the most that they can work with at one time and still fit into that time constraint. So I'm going to suggest you work 2 to 3 lines, take them through the 6 to 8 week process, which we're going to talk about later on, to get them to the point they're independent. Then we're going to go back to our list of 100. We're going to contact 8 or 10 or 12 or however many necessary to get us enough appointments to get 2 to 3 people who are going to sponsor in the business, and we'll start to build depth with those 2 to 3. And we're going to replicate that process 5 to 6 times a year, 5 to 7 times a year. And when you do that, you will put some serious growth in your organization. Now, your key with this is the list is the foundation for everything. All of the warm market stuff is built on the foundation of the list of at least 100 people. The key is building the warm market base, even with the people you bring in with cold market stuff. Because let's suppose when we talk in the next disc, we're going to talk about supplementing with some cold market stuff. So let's say you bring in someone, they responded to a classified ad, which you run in the local shopper. You met them, you had a one-on-one, they came in the business. You still need to take them through the fast-track training, get their list done, and we're going to call up their first chicken list people first before they run an ad in the shopper or duplicate the way you brought them in. They have to work the foundation list first. Because remember, if they just work in the cold market by itself, we found that that really doesn't work effectively. So it's very important that we get the warm market as the foundational stuff. Now, the other important thing to know about warm marketing prospecting is to dig your well before you're thirsty. Don't let the list run dry. Because you should always be replenishing the list. And you say, well, you didn't tell me about that part. What, you know, here I did the 100. Now you're telling me the 100 is not enough. What I'm telling you is, as you go through life, you're meeting people every day. Today you probably met 5 people, and it's 10 in the morning. Just by coming here, you met 5 people in the hallway, at the break, whatever, in the bathroom, you met some people. As you go through the day, you join a new video club, you switch hairdressers, you move to an area, you get a new job, you join a new club, and you get invited to a party, you go to a dinner party, you meet some friends in a restaurant. You're meeting people all the time. So what I don't want you to do, I don't want you prospecting these people and, you know, trying to give everybody a packet. I just want you going through the idea of, hey, I'm going out there, and I'm meeting new people, and I'm going to put them on my list when I get home. I'm going to collect some business cards when I'm out there. If you want to really get serious on this, a couple of resources. I have an album called Recruiting 101. Many of you in the room have gone through this. And, you know, I talk in there about a technique, the 2 people a day program, which is my mantra was 2 people a day bring freedom my way. 2 people a day bring freedom my way. I just wanted to go out and meet 2 people every day. So I got a couple of Kennedy half-dollar things or dollar, whatever they were. Started them in my one pocket. When I met one person, I'd move one over. When I met the second, I'd move over the other one. I couldn't go home until I met 2 people. Didn't give them a packet, didn't prospect. I just made friends. The idea was just to go out and make some friends so that I could have new names on my list. So what happens is when we go through the 6 to 8 week process, we start to get someone to be independent. Now we go back to our list, and instead of saying, oh, who do I talk to next, we're starting to think, okay, who can I introduce next? Who gets the opportunity next? The thing you will discover is the key for successful prospecting is to maintain posture. Now, I'm not talking about standing up straight posture, although that's a good idea that I should follow myself. I'm talking about the posture with which we approach prospects. When I first started in the business, I argued with everybody. Because remember, I was calling all these people. I knew nothing about the business. I'm calling them all up, and they're all telling me no, and why they wouldn't meet me, and why it's a bad deal, and why it won't work. So I argued with everybody. Well, the arguing approach wasn't working very well. So then I changed the approach. I went to plan B, which is the begging approach. You know? Please, just, if you meet me, if you just come to the meeting, I'll buy you dinner. I'll take you out afterward for drinks. I just, please, come to the thing. So I had no posture. So I had no credibility with the prospects. When you have posture, you know what you've got. You see the value of your organization. When you walk out of here tonight, when you finish listening to these 12 discs, you will know how to build an organization that's worth $5 million to somebody. And I mean million U.S. dollars, 10 million Aussie dollars, 3 million, 4 million British pounds. I mean 4 or 5 million euros. And it doesn't matter where in the world you live. I will show you how to build an organization that will make you a multi-millionaire. So when you understand that, you get a certain posture. See, when I went to do a presentation, I went there with the idea that I had $5 million for you. This is how you can tell someone new in the business. Let's say husband and wife, they go to the presentation, they finish, and then they get in the car, and the husband's looking at the wife, honey, what did you think? Do you think that the Smiths look interested? Do you think the Jones are going to get involved? Let me tell you when you're going to own this. You're going to go in there, and you're going to know you got $5 million for the person. You're going to go in with that thought in mind. They will look in your eyes, and they'll say, I don't know what he knows, but he knows something. I don't know where he's going, but he's going somewhere. I don't know what he's doing, but whatever it is, I want to do it with him. They sense that. So you make the presentation. You go out to the car. You throw your jacket in the back seat. You turn to your wife, and you say, who's next? That's posture. You know what you got. Well, who should I? I'm afraid to call now. You're saying, who do I want to give $5 million to next? So you grow that list. Two people a day bring freedom my way. So you go out there, you're meeting people, you're getting some business cards, you're getting phone numbers, you're just making connections. You're just being a friend. So again, I told you a couple of resources, the Recruiting 101 album, and then Lisa Jimenez, who you heard from me this morning, has a program called Radical Recruiting. I'm going to recommend Lisa's program as well. And we're going to put a link on my site for her stuff, so you'll be able to, even at Randy Gage, if you're listening on the tape, you go to randygage.com, we'll have a link to Radical Recruiting and some of the stuff by Lisa. So you learn some scripts, you learn some things, but the basic thing, and again, I'm not going to micromanage it for you, but I'll just tell you, the idea of this is you're just going to go out and you're going to make friends. You're going to get these contacts, and you're going to get some phone numbers and put them on list. And you don't bother them then. You don't give them. You don't try to make a presentation in the supermarket. You don't try to make a presentation in line at the movie. You just make a friendship. You go home, you put them on the list. Then when you get to your 6 to 8 week period where your people are starting to become independent, now you look at the list and say, okay, on this list of the 82 I have left, who are the 10 most busy, most ambitious, most successful people that I want to offer $5 million to? And what happens is you will be in the business for 15 years and your list will never run dry, ever. So don't tell me, oh, well, I already went through my whole list. Unless you have a job working in a lighthouse, and you work shifts for like 30 days on and whatever, you cannot tell me that you have used your whole list, okay? Because it cannot happen. It's just impossible in society today to go through day-to-day life without meeting new people. So it's not that you're not meeting people. It's that you're not using your critical thinking skills and recognizing that you're meeting people and putting those people on your list. So you're always digging your well before you're thirsty. So when you've got a big list, you have good posture. When you have a short list, you have bad posture. So we just make sure we always have enough name on our list so that we've got good posture. Now, we've got some different approaches. We have what I would call the direct approach and what we would call more the indirect approach. The direct approach, now there's a third approach called the secrecy approach. Okay? What's the direct approach? Direct approach is, hey, what do you know about Herbalife? Or direct approach is, hey, what do you know about network marketing? We're telling people right up front it's a network marketing. Hey, have you ever heard of OxyFresh? Hey, has anybody ever talked to you about Manatech? This is a direct approach. Then we have the secrecy approach. We invite people over to dinner. We have this beautiful dinner. Just when they're expecting the carrot cake, we wheel out the whiteboard and start drawing circles. Okay? We invite them over to the house to watch the Breakfast Club movie, and instead we pop in the DVD from the company. That's the secrecy approach. Pioneered around 1972, 1974, was very effective in those days. Okay, not very effective today. I'm not going to recommend that. I would recommend there's what we call an indirect approach, which would be, hey, I've got a high-volume marketing business here in the Detroit area, and we're expanding, looking for some key people. Are you interested in developing some residual income? Or, hey, and we'll put some scripts of these you'll see in the study guide, but to give you an idea, you know, hey, I'm working with some people who have a high-volume marketing business. We're expanding here in the Los Angeles area, and we're looking for people who'd like to develop second income. Is that something you think you'd want to explore a little further? That's an indirect approach. So what I'm going to suggest is the people who you know very well on your list, your friends, neighbors, relatives, go right away with the direct approach. Just call them up. Hey, what do you know about CellTech? Hey, because now some of you, that's going to shock you, this whole idea of doing this indirect approach, because or the direct approach, because you think they're going to think it's a pyramid, they're going to scream, they're going to hang up. You're making all that up. I've just found that's just not an issue. We've been doing this for years now, this direct approach, and it revolutionized my business when I did that. The reason why we use the direct approach is because all of your friends, neighbors, and relatives know that you're in the business already. How do they know about that? Because they talk about you when you're not there. You didn't hear it from me, but if Becky calls you, she's in that she's in one of those Amway kind of companies. It's not Amway, it's a Usana or something like that. And you know, they make pyroglycnic technica riboflavin or something, but you know, whatever. It's one of those pyramid deals, it's like Amway, but you didn't hear this from me. Okay? They're all not. So when you call up and you just say, hey, what do you know about network marketing? They're like, wow. She's not trying to hide it. She's just open. Well, she's running this in a business-like way. And when you present it in a business-like way, it's very effective. Now, the people that you're meeting when you're going out doing the two people a day, bring friends my, you know, brings freedom my way. You go out, you meet someone, and you're in Office Depot in line, you're waiting to buy a cell phone, you meet someone, you chat a little, you find out they're a school teacher, you have a five-minute conversation, you get their phone number. Now, that person, I would use the indirect approach. I would call them. Talk about a business opportunity, residual income, get them to meet me for a two-on-one or get them to get on the call with my sponsor for the two-on-one call or whatever the first step in your process is, and then I would introduce the business and the company at that point. So depending on how intimately well you're known to the prospect would determine how direct you would be on that. I just find people you know well, the direct approach works better. People you don't know as well, the indirect approach works better. And again, study some of those resources we talked about for how they would work and more scripts and look in your study guide as well. Now, what are some great places to meet great prospects? Well, I love cultural events. The opera, the symphony, plays. People who go to these events are people who appreciate the good life. So I like people who like the good life. I like people who, and it takes a little bit amount of money to go to the symphony or the opera. If you see what tickets cost to some of this stuff today, these are people who probably have a real job, have got some kind of success in the world. They're the kind of people I'm looking for. I'm not looking for people who are just, they need their next $10 to buy groceries. Yes, I know they need the business. I know they need help. But let me tell you a secret. You can't take the charity cases first or you will become one. Okay? You cannot take the charity cases first or you will become one. Go after the successful people first. Then if you want to take on a charity case, you will come from a position of strength and be able to do it. Cultural events, spiritual centers. The Unity Church, the Science of Mind Church, it might be a synagogue, might be a temple, someplace that does some classes, worship service. People of consciousness go to these places. So I like to meet people there. bookstores. The people who are in Barnes & Noble on Friday night instead of nightclubs are the people that you want to be talking to. The learning annex or places like this that do classes for adults open to the public, these are people interested in learning and education. They're a good consciousness. Community and regular college continuing education courses, great place to meet great people. Self-development seminars. Deepak Chopra's coming to town. Wayne Dyer's coming to town. Hey, you ought to be going to those things anyway, just for your own benefit. And you know what? Bring some cards, shake some hands, make some friends while you're there. Good people to meet at stuff like that. Sports leagues. Join softball. Join a bowling league. Being in a those kind of things. Or clubs. Chess club. Gardening club. People who are into athletics and exercise and things are a good consciousness. People who are into certain clubs. If it's a chess game, this is someone who likes to use their mind. They're probably a critical thinker. That's a good club to be at. And my favorite number one place to meet prospects, believe it or not, of all the places I met people, my favorite was the hand car wash. Because people who go to the hand car wash are driving Mercedes and BMWs and Jaguars and Rolls Royces and nice automobiles. And remember, I'm focusing on the most busy, most ambitious, most successful people, and that's the people I want to meet first. So I love the hand car wash, believe it or not. Here's your million-dollar tip, number one. I'm going to give you a number of these as we go through the day. These are tips, any one of which, if you really understand this simple little tip, it can be worth at least $1 million to you. And million-dollar tip number one is sponsor your weakness. Sponsor your weakness. Say, well, I'm scared to death to make presentations. I would never be able to do a meeting. I don't know. I don't want to get up in front of people. You know what? Go sponsor a couple professional speakers who love to get up on the platform. You don't have a car? Sponsor people who have cars. You don't have money? Sponsor people who have money. Whatever your weakness is, if you sponsor that weakness, you will neutralize that weakness. In my case, I came into the business pathologically shy. As you know, I didn't want to talk one-on-ones. I was afraid to approach people. And I said, what I've got to do is I've got to find five friendly, gregarious, outgoing people who love to mingle with other people. And I'm going to put them in the business. And that will neutralize my weakness. And that's exactly what I did. So if you will look at whatever your weakness is and sponsor it, you'll neutralize it. Really get that? It's worth at least $1 million to you over the course of your life. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about how to get outside of our warm market, how to meet people we have never met before, and grow dramatically faster with cold market prospecting. See you then.